not exactly what you're expecting. This whole parsha, throughout the entire parsha, there are mitzvos that are just seem to be a little bit off. Chazal have a mimer in Gittin, Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph, that says, it's mutter to be megarish a woman if she burns your food. She burns her food. Or if you see someone prettier. In this week's parsha regarding Gerish. It's the strangest thing in the world. For doing that? Just for what? But it's mutter. Later, im lo simsochein beinov, is the wording of that pasuk. Yafas Torah is clearly one of the strangest mitzvahs that there could possibly be in the history of the Torah. There is nothing like Yafas Torah. You're in the middle of a war, you see a girl, you decide she's good looking, you can grab her.
It's a strange one.
Machlokas is whether you can have... I'm sorry?
There's a very much stranger.
Stranger one? Which one?
Something about if your wife... A woman's wife does something to the man.
Woman's wife?
Whoa.
This is on tape. Oh, remember your on tape.
I know. I just want to try not to say it.
Forget
the whole
that
thing about
that.
Because
so says Kappa.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Baba Kama goes into it. Okay, Yafas Torah is clearly a little bit strange to force. You are allowed to force her. You're allowed to force her to be with you. And even if she's married, to somebody else, you're allowed to force her to be with you. Yavama Yavo Ala is also mentioned in this week's parsha. Yavama Yavo Ala, that it's Baal Korcha. Your brother passes away before his wife ends up having a child, you can force her to be together with you, to be your second, third, fourth wife. Chalitza is also a very strange process. Taking off the shoes, spitting in the face. She can't opt out. The guy, Yavama Yavola, is even Baal Korcha. People Baal Korcha, says the Gemara in Chalitza. Chalitza is his choice. Now, she can trick him. If it's a weird guy, then the Beis Din gets involved and tricks him into making him do Chalitza. No. Chas v'shalom. Don't say that. No, we do. Don't worry. Regardless. But either way, and the Torah says about Yafas Torah that you're going to hate her, she's going to be a hated wife, and then you can have a child who's a Ben Soru Mora. Then tell me not to do it. Don't tell me, here it is.
It's my grandfather.
Give it over to you. That's a great thing. Just the whole thing. Where is the Duracha Darchinon? We know the Torah was written in the best way possible. Where is the Duracha Darchinon? The ways are supposed to be pleasant and good for everybody, and everything's all supposed to be good. Where is the Duracha Darchinon in these types of laws where it seems to be like nailing somebody? Nailing. So if Schwab says there's two different types of mitzvos, you got to hear this. There's two different types of mitzvos. The two different types of mitzvahs are, number one, some have defined borders that they literally have. They have borders, and if you cross that border, then you immediately do an avera. You're allowed to do X, but once you get to this point, it's awesome. You're allowed to get married, but you cannot marry just anybody. If you marry a sister, or you marry a daughter, you marry a mother, that's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Those are very clear and defined borders. There's no question about that. There's no like, well, what if she's sort of my daughter? It's there or it's not. It's one or the other. Abu Dazara is pretty clear. If you do any of the major issues that somebody would do to Abu Dazara, like bowing down or this or that or the other, then those types of things that are mentioned by Abu Dazara are also Shabbos, Kashrus, Gezel, Lashon Hara. When it comes to these things, yes, there are questions and there are things that the Gemara discusses, but it's pretty clear you're not allowed to take your friend's stuff. You're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara. You're not allowed to eat something not kosher. It's pretty clear what those things are. But there's other mitzvos. And those other mitzvos are mitzvos that you're allowed to do if you want. Just Chazal say, you should make a border for yourself. You should stop yourself from going too far. You're allowed to eat, yeah.
Is there another example other than...
For this?
Yeah.
Yes. Eating meat. You're allowed to eat meat. No problem with it whatsoever. But eating too much of it gets into the category of kedoshim to you. Kedoshim to you means you're supposed to be holy. Now that's totally undefinable. I mean, everybody has to define for themselves what kedoshim is, and everybody has to do it for themselves. It's like a suggested donation of $5. Everybody has to find out however they want. They want to give $1, they want to give $10, they want to give $1,000. You can do whatever you want. We're not going to force you to do anything. There's a great Simpsons on it. If you remember for the first season, very good, y'all. You got it. It's a great Simpsons on it. Very good. Bravo, bravo. That's it. The Kedoshim to you is telling you, you're allowed to choose. You can make things up on your own. You can figure out what you're supposed to do. You realize that it's a good thing to eat meat. You realize too much of it is a bit much. So you say to yourself, I gotta stop. And Kedoshim to you applies by a lot of things in the Torah, but not everything. Kedoshim to you doesn't apply by a rise. It doesn't apply by a avodah zarah. Anything in which there's a defined, clear, set amount, and the Torah tells you what that is, and you can't do this, that's not Kedoshim to you. Kedoshim to you applies in things that are normally mutter, and even on those things, Kadesh Atzmacha B'motoach, you have to be Kadesh yourselves in things that are mutter. The idea of mitzvos is to do them out of love and awe of Hashem. Not awe as in fear, not to be afraid of Hashem, that He's going to punish me if I don't do it. Awe of Hashem. How great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and that I love God with all my might, with everything that I own. I love Him with an unbelievable love. That's Ava and Yira. Some mitzvos concentrate on the Yira side of things. And they also have to have a little bit of Ava. Some mitzvos concentrate on the Ava side of things, and they also have a little bit of Yira. Those mitzvos that concentrate on Yira, on the awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have defined lines. They say, you can't go past this way. Can't go too far. Those that don't, concentrate on Ava. Those that don't concentrate on an Avadic way, they go in the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be happy. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to do things that we want to do. Now, granted, there has to be lines that we should not cross, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to realize that we should make that for Himself. A person who gets in there, and if the school just makes one rule after the other rule after the other rule after the other rule, that ends up being like Skokie, and everyone hates it. Everyone hates it, because they don't realize that there's... no kid is going to realize that when they're younger, that they're doing it for their own good. What you have to do is to be able to say, you're giving this, and also we're going to have to take away this. You can never take away something without giving something in return. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this. He gave us mitzvahs in which He said, you have to do this. You have no choice but to do this. And a mitzvah made of Yira. But He said, I'm going to put in some of my Ava in there. I'm going to give you a mitzvah in which you have to decide. But you must decide. And you have to know what you're supposed to do over here. Yifas Torah is exactly like that. Yifas Torah is something that, listen, a person should not. And in fact, the Rabbeinu Bechaya says it was such a great mitzvah because no one did Yifas Torah except for David HaMelech. He's the only person who have had Yifas Torah. Nobody else did it. Yes, and he was punished for it. Because Amnon and Tamar from that relationship caused a huge rift within his children. Huge rift, and it caused Avshalom to kill Amnon, which chased Avshalom away, which ended up making Avshalom into the enemy of David HaMelech, to where Avshalom eventually tried to take over the kingdom. Huge things, all from the Yifas Torah. David HaMelech was the only person to come about to go to do that, says Rabbeinu Bechaya. So Shvat is trying to say, you have to know that there's some things that you just shouldn't do. And that's what the Torah it says, this is what you can do, it's mutter to do, it's allowed to do it. Stop yourself. Stop yourself from doing certain things. Allow yourself. Yes, you can divorce a woman if she overcooks her food one night. Don't. Don't. It's just, here's how to be smart. Here's what you should do, and here's what you can do, but here's what I suggest for you. That's what Duracha Darkei Noam comes in over here. And the point is to knock down the Yetzer Hara. That's the entire point of this mitzvah. Yes.
So you're basically saying the mitzvah of Yifas Torah is there, so we shouldn't do it.
So that you shouldn't do it. So you know how to knock down the Yitzhar, and that's why all the Rishonim, the way they look at this parsha, and they keep saying it. They say it's all the knock down the Yitzhar. When you go out to war on your enemy is the Yitzhar. Because the whole shot is to be able to knock down your Yitzhar. Yeah, you're going to have the Yitzhar. Knock it down. Throw it out. Say, I'm not going to take the Yifas Torah. You'll see it. And the whole thing is a remez to the Nefesh and the Neshama doing things. And it's all out there because it's not Pashuk Shot. It doesn't seem to be the most obvious thing in the world. Now, here we go.
Is there another explanation that maybe Yifas Torah was put there because war sometimes gets ugly?
Oh, without a question. And that's the Rambam. And that's the Rambam. That's without a question. And the Rambam also speaks about that. Without a question whatsoever. There's the Orach Chaim that goes into Kedusha, that you'll see only the Kedusha of the Yifas Torah. That's the Chashakta Bal Cheshek, is the Lashon of absolute spiritual desire as opposed to physical desire, which is Chetet. That's the later on in Lo Chafatzta Ba. If you don't have a physical desire for her, but there's a Cheshek that's there in the middle of the war. Okay. Simcha Zissel. I don't think I've ever said a word from Kelly. So this will be my first time. Simcha Zissel. This is said over by Rabbi last year at a Shabbos drusha, I guess you could say, during lunch. He was saying it over. It was an unbelievable Simcha Gizel. It's perfect for Elul, but it's not. But Simcha Gizel says, Ben Sora Remora. What's the pshat? I don't understand. We don't judge Basher Husham. Judge people according to where they are at the time, not according to what they're going to do. Sure, this guy might be a listim later on. He'll kill people, and therefore we got to give him stealing out. But we judge people according to where they are right then. Right then, they're Basher Husham. Not according to what he's going to do. It's ridiculous. We learned that from Yishmael. If Yishmael is judged by Basher Husham, certainly we should judge every Jew that way. And what does it mean a Jew can't do tshuva? This is an unbelievable thing. Well, and Moshe Rabbeinu turned in order to see what was going to happen. So he did see the future of that mitzvah. We can't do that. So what's going on? The kid's a Baal Taiva. This kid is a Baal Taiva. He wants to eat meat. He's drinking wine. So much so that he's stealing from his parents in order to get the meat and to drink the wine. To take it even when it's halfway raw. It can't be fully cooked food. It's got to be somewhat raw meat. That's how much he wants the meat. He just wants to grab it and be able to eat it. It's very, very hard when you start off your life as a little kid with taivas to eventually break them. Very, very hard. Start off your life when your parents are telling you no, 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 and then become a Baal Taiva that you could somewhat break. You start off your life getting everything you want and being a Baal Taiva, then later on in life, you're not going to stop yourself. You lived your whole life getting taivas. It's impossible to stop it any other way. I hate to bring Raya's from the movies, but that's what they were there for. Billy Madison. That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. You can't, if you live your entire life cheating and doing everything that you can in order to do nothing, then you will do nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's the way it is. Parents can never give their child everything he wants. It kills the child. It destroys the kid. It's the worst thing for the kid. Here's the line. The child's life, if he's about such a Baal Taiva, isn't worth living. That's what Simcha Gizel's line. He might as well not be around. It's better for him to be dead. He's not going to get anything. Not only will he be punished for everything he does, he'll never be satisfied with anything he has later on in life. He'll never be satisfied. He won't get Olam Hazeh. He won't have Olam Haba. It's better for him not to be here at all. Let him be killed before he does anything wrong, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take care of him. That's the line of Ben Sora Remora. That's a crazy line. But that's the whole shot behind the whole parsha. He's a Baal Taiva. And think about it. If your son, Chas V'Shalom, shouldn't say your son, if a son of a certain father was going to die, for sure he was going to die. He was either going to die by the sword, or if you pay the guy off, then you can go ahead and kill him by poison, which will kill him instantly, and he won't feel any pain. Every father is going to have rachmanis on his kid. He's going to give the poison. Even if the sword, even if he's going to die by the sword 10 days later, the person's going to have rachmanis. He's going to say, I'd rather him die without any pain than die with that much pain. That's what the father's doing here. He's taking his kid to court in order to be killed so that he doesn't have a life of pain, a life of tsar. So otherwise, how could the parents bring him to court? The parents realize what they did wrong in the Ben Sora Moriz Chinuch, giving him all these tithes and allowing him, and then they're punishing him. It's just an unbelievable line. Can you imagine this? That's what a Baal Taiva's life is all about. We're not stopping there. Oh, we have three more parts of the Ben Sora Remora. Rav Schwab said, it never happened, and it never will happen. Well, that's kind of cool. Kind of put the damper on the entire Parsha.
Yeah.
It's just sort of one of those things that's there, but just not there. Just absolutely not there. You know the Tanoim that have to be involved? The parents have to look alike, sound alike, say everything at the exact same time. They have to do everything together. They have to be the same height. While they're saying it, our son, Benenu Zeh, Soru Amore. It's just a crazy thing. And the fact that he has to be 13, in between 13 and 3 months and 13 and 6 months, I believe it is, and he has to go ahead and steal this stuff from his parents, and it has to be somewhat raw meat, but not totally raw, but not totally cooked, and it has to be wine that's a little bit raw, but not completely, in other words, not real wine. It's just so unbelievable. And so too with Irani Dachas. I'm sorry?
So grace.
So too with Irani Dachas. Rabbi Yonatan said, I sat on the kever of a Ben Sora Remora. And then he said, I sat on a mound that once was in Irani Dachas, this city that was full of Avodah Zarah. I sat on the mound from that Irani Dachas. So Rav Shav asks, classic question, Rabbi Yonason, it's mentioned in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rav Shav asks, wow, that's good mazel. Feel like a boat. That's not bad. Go ahead and see a Ben Sora Remora. You're the only one, because there was none other. And Rav Yonason goes ahead and says, and I was the one, I saw it. And then he also got to see an Irani Dachas. He also got to see an Irani Dachas. He didn't see Tzoras Abayis. Tzoras Abayis he wasn't zocheh to see. But he was able to get the other two things. It's unbelievable what ended up happening over here. So it's impressive. What's going on? So Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin Amud Beis says the following. It says, even though the Dalid Mises are gone, Skila Sreifa Hargan Chenek, we can't give anybody Skila Sreifa Hargan Chenek, the din of those Dalid Mises aren't gone. the din of skilus rape and harig and chenek are not going. If a guy's chayiv skila, he'll fall off a rooftop, or he'll be gored by an ox, he'll be eaten up by a lion, If a guy's chayiv sreifa, he'll either burn up in a fire, or a snake will bite him and he'll die by the poison. If he's chayiv harig, he'll die by the government, or something else similar to that. If he'll die, if chenek, he'll drown in a river. Now, we're not allowed to define these things. If somebody dies, you're not allowed to say, oh, chayiv chenek. You're not allowed to say, if a guy dies in a car, you can't say, oh, it must be because... It's also to do that. That's absolutely also. There's no answer for that. Obviously, we're not allowed to say why a person. But the din of the Dalet Misos still exists today. It's still around today. There's something where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure, even though we can't define it, that if a guy's chayiv skila, I'll take care of him. If a guy's chayiv straight by Harry chenek, I'll take care of him. From maybe the din of the Ben Sora Mores still exists. I'm sorry? Not a Kaddish Baruch Hu. The din of the Dalamis is where a Kaddish Baruch Hu takes care of it. He just needs to know that it happened. He doesn't require that. By Dalet Misos of Beis Din you do. But if it's the din Dalet Misos, he doesn't need that. Why should it be any different? Because Baruch has a lot to do, whatever we want, as we obviously know.
All he has to do is like eat the meat and the wine.
Well, hold on. We haven't given the answer yet. So what's the shot over here? Even though there never was a Ben Sora Mora, he never existed, there was never an Irini Dachas that we actually destroyed, the din of a Ben Sora Mora in Irini Dachas happened. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that there was such a child who would grow up to be a Lisdom. And even though we never killed him, we never brought such a kid to base, and we never had this sort of a thing happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed him at the age of 13 to make sure that people knew this kid was going to grow up evil. Something happened to that kid at the age of 13 because of what was going to happen. He was a Ben Sora Mora. We didn't kill him, but the din Ben Sora Mora still exists. The din of Irini Dachas, it was a city that went astray. It was a city that started keeping Avodah Zarah. Rove of the city kept Avodah Zarah. Did we destroy that city? Did we burn up the city? No. But the din of that city still exists, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of it and made it into a mountain. Rabbi Yonason said, people weren't able to see that. Through his Kiddusha, Rabbi Yonason was able to find out there was a child. I went by a Beis HaKvaros and I saw a 13-year-old kid, and I realized HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed me that that kid was really a Ben Sora Mora. And I killed him because he was a din Ben Sora Mora, not because he was killed by Beis Din, but I saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was supposed to die, and that's where the parsha of the Torah comes in. Sometimes these kids will die because I prefer them to die earlier than die later. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of it instead. And the Irini Dachas is the same exact way. The Irini Dachas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw what the city had become, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided nobody else is going to do it. I'll take care of it. And he made an earthquake and destroyed the city.
Why wouldn't we do it? Why wouldn't you send us to do it?
What about the stone?
Those things need such... The problem with an Irini Dachas is that you're going to burn the mezuzah. You have to burn everything in the city, including all the Sifrei Kodesh. So we don't do it. There are certain stipulations that the Torah made it almost impossible for us to do it. Almost impossible. There are ways of doing it, but it's almost impossible. So in essence, lo hayav lo niyeh. There's no way that we're going to be able to do it and fulfill all the Tanayim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, you won't, but I will. And just know it's there. And even though you won't be able to do this sort of thing, I'll take care of it for you, and I'll show you what it is. But you won't know what I'm doing when I'm destroying such a city. I'm telling you, that's an Irini Dachas. You won't know what I'm doing when I'm killing a 13-year-old child. That's the Ben Sora Mora. Because Baruch Hu runs the world that way. Now, hold on a second. To know the point, you got to go to this part now. We're missing a part here. Why can't the kid do tshuva? Everyone can do tshuva. There's no such thing as a person who can't do tshuva. And why is it up to his parents to bring him? The parents have to bring him to court. If it's such a bad kid, the kid's going to be an evil person later on. So, thus, just grab him, throw him into court. Because this kid's going to be evil. Just grab him and throw him in. The parents have to go, the father and the mother have to go together and say the right line and do everything. Who cares? He's evil. Kill him. Just destroy him. What are we thinking over here? So here, we have a Shem Yishmol. The Shem Yishmol is unbelievable. Non-Jews are not allowed to do tshuva. Non-Jews don't have the ability to do tshuva. Why is that? The pshat is that in order to do tshuva, you need chus avos. You need parents, and you need grandparents. And you have to bring yourself all the way back to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Gerim and Yosim have an ability to do tshuva because they make themselves into Ben Avram or Ben Sarah. When they get called up for an aliyah, they're Ben Avram, or they're called Ben Sarah if they need a refuah shlema. They make themselves have that zchus avos. They bring themselves into zchus avos. They bring themselves to that neshama, the table to do tshuva. But normal non-Jews are not able to. What's pshat? You don't realize what Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov did to us. Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov took your neshama and made it so holy, so unbelievably holy, that it can never get a hole in it. It can never be destroyed. It can never really do wrong. It can be tainted. It can have like a slab of paint on it, and that's the evil deeds that you've done. It could be surrounded by filth. It could be surrounded by garbage. But it can never destroy. It can never destroy the actual neshama. It can't destroy your kedusha. Your kedusha is always there, no matter how encrusted in filth and in shells and whatever it is. No matter how encrusted it is, if you eventually wipe it all off, the neshama is still there, still holy. It's like a diamond in the rough. Like a diamond in the rough. And eventually the diamond will shine. And eventually the diamond will be all good. It's just hard to be able to get there. By a non-Jew, they don't have that. Their neshamas were never purified by the avos. They were never purified. Even Yishmael and Esav never got the full purification process. So when they do wrong, their actual neshama gets crusty. It becomes like fool's gold. It can shine if they don't do things wrong. A ger becomes that neshama. He takes on that neshama to himself. It becomes a brand new person. Ger Shani's got a kikach and shenoldim. He's like a brand new neshama with nothing. He's clean slated. And he's brought in to be a brand new thing. That's the difference between us and non-Jews. And it's a hard line to be able to understand. If a non-Jew does a sin, of course, he can do better. He can always do better. But it's very hard for him to not fall back into sin. It's like an addict. He can just keep. He can clean himself off. It'll always work. But there's always that little bit of tainted. I had a shower curtain. And the shower curtain had mold on it. Because, eventually, if you keep it for about a year or whatever it is, the plastic shower curtain, eventually it just starts getting mold. So it had a little bit of mold on it. So I started wiping it, right? I wiped it once, but it came back. And it came back even more than it was before. So I wiped it again. Then it came back, and it was even worse. I took it again, and I wiped it again. And it just came back, and it was just much, much worse. That's what it's referring to. Can they do good things? Of course they can do good things. Can they be tzaddikim? Of course. Can they get a lava? Of course. There's no question non-Jews can get all of that. But it's so hard. Because their neshamas were not made in the way that if they sin, they can do tshuva and do better. By us, we do tshuva, and we feel refreshed. We feel renewed. We feel different.
We're talking about the transgress one of the Shevlis.
Seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Yeah. And it's much easier for us to sin than it is for them to sin. And that's just like, they are the shower curtain that just doesn't get cleaned. Eventually, you just have to get a brand new shower curtain. You just have to get a brand new shower curtain. It hasn't happened yet. It's been 7 years. No, I'm joking. But we did get a brand new shower curtain. But that's what you end up doing. You don't kill them. But let me dive in. Not now. But that's the idea of this. It's just impossible. That person disconnected himself, so to speak. He pulled out the plug. And it's very, very hard to put the plug back in. By a Jew, the plug's always in. There's a cleansing sensation. You feel it. It feels like it's a brand new thing right there. It's brand new. It's a new thing. It's not just a hole or anything like that. It's brand new. That tshuva only happens because of our schosavos. Here's the pshat. Listen to this. Shemishmo. It's unbelievable how he says it. He says, how do you get that schosavos? Through your parents. What did the Ben Sora Amora do? He stole from his parents. And who took him to court? His parents. His parents are effectively cutting ties from him. When they cut ties with him, this guy has no connection back. The connection is broken. That means he now no longer has the neshama of a Jew. He has the neshama of a non-Jew. That neshama becomes cut off from schus avos. He no longer has that avos schus to be able to help him, and he doesn't have the benefits. It just gets worse and worse and worse. Therefore, any tshuva that he might do later on in life won't work. And since he's such a baal taiva, it just won't happen. Can he do tshuva? That's the question we start off with. Can he do tshuva? Of course he can do tshuva. Says the Shemi Shmuel, but it won't work. He's going to go right back. Says Chazal, that's why he's going to come back. And it's only true if the parents are willing to take him to court. Because let's say the parents have Rachmanis. Not always is it Rachmanis. Let's say the parents say, you know what? We're not going to take him to Basin. We're not going to kill him. That means they've kept their tie. It may be very, very thin. It might be a tiny little string, a spider web between them. But it's still there. And that connects them back to their parents. That connects them back to the parents' parents. And all the way back to the others, which means that this kid still has a chance. There's always an ability for him to do tshuva. So the best thing is for the parents to give it up. And that's why Chazal are telling us it's impossible for it to happen. There will be no Ben Sora Remora. Because no parent will cut ties with this child. No parent will completely sever it to the point where they don't want him back. That will never happen. There's always that tiny little string. Even if everything else is going badly, there's always that tiny little string. It won't happen. So we'll always have schus avos. So we can always do tshuva. So there will never be a Ben Sora Remora. Yeah. That was it. That's the pshat. That's why it can't happen. Last year we brought up Revolson. And Revolson had an unbelievable board in the Parsha. He started off with the whole idea, it starts off with war. Anybody know what happens at the end of Kiseitse? Amalek. We got to fight Amalek. Starts with war, and it ends with war. Revolson points out, why does it start and end with war? Because the idea of a war is to go out to the fields. Parsha Samelech was in last week's Parsha. The Melech goes out to the fields to fight the war. That's El. The idea of El. It's time to fight the Yetzirah, to go out against Amalek and against the Yetzirah, and to fight him. To go out in all those different things that we do, and to realize Rosh Hashanah is coming, the Melech is coming. The Melech is coming in. And the idea is to be able to fight, and to know when you're supposed to fight, when you're not, so when you're supposed to run away. When to be able to do these types of things. That means going out and fixing things. In a remez type of form, you could say, our war is to find those Jewish neshamos who are lost, and be able to fix them and bring them back so that they realize that the king is coming. To find those neshamos. How do you do that? The Parsha of Ben Sora Mora is perfect for that. Because the whole point is that it never existed. It will never happen that anyone is cut off from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That anyone will die at the age of 13. We're telling it to you specifically to say to you, this won't happen. You won't be cut off. What does the Gemara say? Why do we have it? Drush v'kabel schar. Darshan it out and get schar for it. What's the pshat behind that? The whole parsha was all about, according to Simcha Zitzel, this kid being a Baal Taiva. This kid being such a Baal Taiva, how you and saying, this is what happens to this kid, you gotta watch out, you gotta make sure that you're not that. But Lamaisa, it won't ever happen. Because Drush is to find a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Dir Shu Hashem Behimatzo. Anybody know where that's from? It's a Hatzorah. From where? Fast days. Very good. Very, very good. It's to call out to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. To be able to say to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, find him and call out to him. And it's not for us. Listen to this board from Revolson. Purely Hasidish. This is my Hasidish year. This is the purely Hasidish year. If you learn the Parsha correctly, just like when you learn Parshas of Korbanos, it's Ki'ilu, you were Makar of a Korban on your own. You say all of Parshas Korban and Tamid, it's like you brought a Korban Tamid. If you say Parshas Ben Sora Mora, you will bring back a Neshama from Klal Yisrael. Kaddish Baruch Hu will take that Kedusha and put it back into the world. And somewhere out there, there is a Ben Sora Mora, a guy who's gone, a guy who has nothing to do with Judaism anymore, a guy who tried to cut his ties, who Kaddish Baruch Hu puts thoughts of Tshuva inside his head. And they won't be stopped. And the guy eventually does tshuva and comes back. The Baal Tshuva movement is happening from people learning up this Parsha Ben Sora Mora and darshaning out correctly. That's what a Medrash Pliya is. That's false and unbelievable. The point of a Medrash Pliya, a Medrash that's just not understandable. You know what the pshat is? Try to understand it and make a pshat in it, and you'll bring back those people who couldn't understand things. Who couldn't understand how God exists. Who couldn't understand how these things work. The biggest atheist, to be able to bring them back. If you darshan out the Parsha correctly, if you read the Parsha correctly, says Revolson, Siyata Deshmaya will help you to be able to do anything. Do anything. What are you guys down for by Bala Moshinim? Say Bala Moshinim every day. Bala Moshinim al Tisikva. Holy Shakarat gets Hovei. They should all be destroyed. All these Rashayim, they should all be evil. They should all be destroyed. I'm sorry. Death to the evil people. Very, very good. We have an activist. We have an activist. 100%. What are we down for? Reb Meir wanted to. There were certain people that were giving Reb Meir problems. In Reb Meir's neighborhood. Very similar to many other neighborhoods. There were people that were giving him problems. Reb Meir said he wanted to daven for them all to die. He wanted every single one of them to die. But Bruria, his wife, got up and said, don't daven for them to die. Don't daven for them to die. Daven that their sins should be gone. Yitamu chatoyim mina aretz. It doesn't say the chotim, that the sinners should be gone. The chatoyim, the sins should be gone. Get rid of all those sins. That's what we want. So we don't want the sins anymore. Just daven for them to do tshuva. Reb Meir did so. They did tshuva, and they ended up becoming his talmidim. They ended up all becoming Reb Meir's talmidim. You don't realize what happens when you say Vela Moshina. You're not davening to kill people. You're not davening for people to die. You're davening for the idea of the chait to be gone. You don't want them to think this way anymore. There's just something blocking them. You don't know what it is. It's a taiva, maybe. Or maybe there's a chilul Hashem that somebody did that got them going. Or who knows what? Who knows what it was? But it doesn't matter. You're not davening for them to die. You don't want them to die. You want them to realize how wrong they are. That davening, when you daven it, brings more kedusha in the world, and it makes, gives Hashem the ability to put more kedusha in them, to help them do their tshuva. It brings them siyata d'shmaya, so that they want to do tshuva. That's what you're davening for. Not die, die, die. It's live, live, live. And know what you're living for. Kill those sins. That's what Rabbi Yonasan meant. I sat on the grave of a Ben Soro Amore. Not like Rev Schwab, that Akash Baruch actually killed them. I went to help myself. Because I have taivas as well, says Rabbi Yonasan. And I know people who have worse taivas than I do. I went to the kever of a Ben Soro Amore, of a guy who died because of his taivas. I saw a Baal Taiva who lived his entire life for Taiva, and I went and I sat in his grave, and I said to myself, do I want to be this person? Do I want to be this, I'd say this way, but this fat, good-for-nothing, who never got anything out of life? Is that what I want to be? And it helped me, said Rabbi Yonasan. And I know that Kedusha applied to other things in the world as well. That's the idea of Ben Soro Mora. To learn up correctly, realize how bad taivas are. Realize that you have them. And yes, you can give in to them at some times. The Yafas Tohar is right there. But that's what leads to the Ben Soro Mora. Know that there's a result from giving into your taivas. And to sit there and to say to yourself, Kedoshim to you. We really got to make ourselves a little bit holier. We got to work on ourselves a little bit. That's the connection between the whole parsha. Bringing it all together. All based on this Ben Soro Mora. Have a good job, guys. See you soon.